agree or disagree.
The International Investment Forum organized by Russia was held in September in Sochi. Ahead of the forum, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel said there would be no meeting between her and the Russian president over the crisis in Ukraine. Russia's relations with the West began to deteriorate significantly over the Ukrainian crisis. But what does this boycott mean in broader context for the Russian-German relationship? We're also hearing that Angela Merkel and Russian President Vladimir Putin have spoken on the phone and discussed the issues that they will be addressing during the summit in Italy to be held on the 16th and the 17th of October. So, what will it take for the dialogue to restart? Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Marina Joshi, and to discuss the role of Germany in shaping the relations between Russia and the West, I'm joined today by Sergei Utkin, who's head of Department of Strategic Assessment at the Center for Situation Analysis at Russian Academy of Sciences, and Moritz Rudolph, who's a research associate at Merics, a think tank in Berlin. Thank you so much, both of you, Moritz and Sergei, for joining me to discuss this. Well, I'd like to know your take on the relationship between Angela Merkel and Vladimir Putin. You see, on the one hand, we hear that Germany and the EU would like to continue talking, but in reality, things do not seem to be moving forward. So in your opinion, what will it take for the dialogue to restart? Briefly, if you could, let's begin with Moritz.
I think it's definitely in the interest of Germany and Russia to start talking again. And what was mentioned before, that China could be entering as a mediator in this conflict, I don't think that is actually possible. And for Germany and for Russia right now, with China getting closer relationships with Russia, and I think actually to not the best conditions for Russia, I think it is in both countries' interest to start a dialogue again.
All right, thank you. And Sergei, what are your thoughts? What will it take for the two countries to start talking again?
Well, the two countries are talking to each other, and you can take note of the many phone conversations that happened between the German Chancellor and Putin. You can also see various other platforms that exist for dialogue. I mean, dialogue between the businessmen. People still do business with each other in between the two countries. And eventually, the thing that is happening now is that it gets more difficult to keep solemn platforms for dialogue. Those that are in themselves are used as a symbol of a good shape of relationship. So if you can simply broadcast the footage from the meetings of the Petersburg dialogue and to show that everything is nice, this is something that is not possible under the current conditions, because people understand that everything is not nice, that we should explain to each other how serious the situation is, and to first shape the substance for further negotiations, and only then meet and to avoid meetings without substance.
All right. Thank you very much for your thoughts in brief. And we can now discuss in more detail the current state of relationship between Russia and Germany and the EU on the whole, and what it'll take to start moving forward for the two sides to have a dialogue and mutual understanding. Well, from what I just heard, I would like to elaborate on your thoughts and ideas that you just gave me. Sergei, specifically, you said that the dialogue does go on, but in different formats and different venues. However, you see, what I'm concerned about here is that, I mean, both say that it is important to talk, but then again, it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that the German side, specifically Angela Merkel, refused to, you know, hold talks in Sochi with President Putin, and also within the framework of St. Petersburg dialogues, that too was canceled. And, you know, again, both leaders didn't meet. But as you said earlier, they're going to meet in Milan, in Italy, and hopefully talk there. Well, what's interesting here is that on the surface, we see that there is a desire to continue talking, to move things forward. But in reality, Angela Merkel cancels her talks with President Putin, and they are not happening. So they are not talking. What I'd like to know is, why is this happening? Why is it that the German side is not using these venues for promoting a dialogue, for establishing contact, and for just talking and discussing things and moving forward eventually? Moritz, what are your thoughts?
I think, as Sergei also already mentioned, there are dialogues already happening. They're talking with another. I think it is most important to focus on the interests, of the common interests, which are there between Angela Merkel and Vladimir Putin. And I think it's a long-term strategic outlook. In that regard, I think there would be a possibility of Germany and Russia to talk. So I think that the refusal, maybe in some points, I think it's just because some issues have not been solved yet. But I think if both sides just reconsider what their broader objectives are, I think it would be also in the interest of Russia to move closer to Germany. And I think then it would be possible.
And what is the position of the German business on the current cooling off relations between Russia and Germany?
I think it's the same thing for the Russian economic side. Having those sanctions imposed is not in the best interest for economically for either side. The only country that actually benefits from that is China. Of course, if you are involved in economics, both sides, they don't appreciate that. But this is something in the country, those decisions are being made, and for that part, I think if you just look again at the overall picture, it is not in the best interest for Russia and for Germany because other countries are filling in, and the conditions are not favorable for Russia, for Germany, but they're favorable for China.
Okay, but, you know, there is also an opinion that China could be a mediator between the two because Russia has a strong relationship with China and Germany has a strong relationship with China.
Well, I think this is a wishful thinking. I think it's not in the best interest for China for doing that, because right now, given the situation of bad relations between Russia and Europe, for China, this is actually quite well, because Europe and Russia, they are both trying to improve their relations. And the conditions are turning better and better for China. Just look at the agreements that were signed in May and now on October 13th in Moscow and in Shanghai. Those are favorable conditions for China. And it is Germany and Russia that are trying to get China on their side. And so for that matter, it is easy for China. They don't have to make a clear decision. They are continuing their good relations with Russia. They're strengthening them. But to some extent, Russia is turning more and more into a junior partner, especially in Central Asia. And I think for Russia and for Germany, that's not in the best interest.
All right, Maurice, thanks for this insightful view of the relationship, also in the light of Chinese influence and Chinese participation there. And it's certainly interesting to see how this relationship developed, because in the media, there was a view that China might be a mediator between the two sides here because of its strengthening ties with Russia on the one hand and a good relationship with Germany on the other. Well, at this point, I'm also interested to know what Sergei thinks about this. I mean, Sergei, to what extent do you agree or disagree with what Moritz just said and his view on China and the fact that China, in fact, is gaining from this situation? And in the future, this may have some negative consequences. So let's take a listen to your position, to your stand on this.
Well, I just think a bit in a different direction. First, I do agree that there is a geopolitical context and we should keep that in mind. But speaking about the worsening of relationship, the cause for the worsening of this relationship is not what is actually happening between Russia and Germany. And it has not much to do with China, if anything. It has to do with the situation in Ukraine. So if the situation in Ukraine is showing the signs of de-escalation, if we see that the military conflict is finally ended and the sides of the conflict go towards a permanent solution that could help at least the people who live in the conflict region to have decent living, this is the way forward, and this would bring the relations between Russia and Germany back on track. If this doesn't happen, if the situation in Ukraine gets worse and worse, I'm afraid that any kind of mediation between Russia and Germany wouldn't help, and the German politicians would just think of the Russian side as not a trustworthy one, as the one that cannot keep the promises that were made at the negotiations in Minsk.
Well, Moritz, what do you think at this point will be that bridge in a relationship, something that will help the two to see each other in a different light and despite the differences of opinion, still start talking and begin the dialogue?
Well, I think it's important to say that, it's not a conflict per se between Russia and Germany. What Germany is doing is trying to be a mediator in the first place. So the suggestion would be having China being a mediator of a mediator. And I think that's why I was mentioning China, because the conflict that's going right now is not in the best interest for, of course, not for the Ukrainians, for everybody who's living in this area, not in the best interest for Russia, not in the best interest for Europe, including Germany. My question was, who is actually profiting from that situation? And I think this is clearly China. And one has to keep this in mind. Also, with moving back to the negotiation tables, I think it's important to see the horizon and how devastating this actually can be in the long run if no side actually agrees to move closer to another in order to actually wake up 20 years later and then realizing that it was actually not the strongest move.
Well, certainly every country has its own interests, and China is no exception here, taking advantage of the current political climate and the situation. But looking at the current climate in Europe, in the EU specifically, it seems like Germany is a country that is very vocal about sanctions towards Russia. Well, Angela Merkel, for that matter, took a very tough stance on Russia. In fact, she has been consistent on sanctions and on suspending Russia from the G8 group of industrialized nations. And by canceling talks with Putin at the Economic Forum in Sochi earlier, Merkel sent, in my opinion, a message that she was in no hurry to lift the measures against Moscow, even though a ceasefire has been agreed to in eastern Ukraine. So why is that? What are the reasons for this attitude?
Well, Germany is the key country of the European Union, the strongest economy, and of course the German position plays a great role. We speak about the decision-making process in the EU. But if other countries don't support this or that decision of the EU, it will not be taken. So it's important what the people in Germany think about sanctions. And actually, if we speak about the current level of sanctions, it's still relatively moderate. And no one really wants to make it much higher. No one wants to make it so high that it would damage the EU economy. And that would also mean that the damage for the Russian economy would also stay limited. It is felt, but it is limited. And when we speak about the prospect of sanctions, I agree that no one is interested in the conflict and no one is interested in sanctions being kept for indefinite time. We are all interested in stopping the sanctions war, but to stop the sanctions war, you have to stop the war in Ukraine, the actual war, which is much more detrimental for all sides of these policies than the sanctions.
Well, what do you think of the U.S. position in all this? I mean, earlier there were a lot of analysis in the media of different positions of Western countries, the U.S., and the European Union. In fact, it's not a surprise to say that the U.S. was trying to convince some of the European countries to impose more sanctions on Russia. How much pressure is Germany under from the U.S. in this particular context? Moritz, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think comparing to other countries in Europe when it comes to pushing for tougher sanctions, in Germany debate was actually quite moderate. So it takes longer time to convince Germany to put on harsher sanctions against Russia compared to other European countries like the UK, for instance. In that regard, when it comes to the United States, of course, there's different stakes at play. For instance, in Germany, there are bigger trade relations, there are bigger economic relations, more investment compared to the United States. And then from the European side, and the political decision-making process is independent when it comes to that, there is actually in the economic interest of Germany, there is some clear lines, of course, that where it is possible to impose more sanctions. But on the other side, it's just a complete different situation than this for the United States. The United States and the sanctions are already tougher than they are from the European Union. So there's already a different situation. And from the European side, only a further escalation of the situation would cause more and tougher sanctions, just in order to show that the European Union is not a paper tiger and completely and is not able to react to those questions in the 21st century.
And just to remind our listeners that this is Radio VR, and we have been discussing the Russia-EU relationship, and specifically the relationship between Germany and Russia, ahead of the Asia and Europe Forum that's to take place in Milan on the 16th and the 17th of October. Do stay with us, as when we get back, we will continue discussing that.